The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Star! Will Smith just tied the game.
Now, here's your host, Ted Raimi.
Here's William Eklund. He doesn't stop skating. Fed it forward to Toffoli. Back for Eklund. Eklund has an empty net. Poked it forward just wide of the goal as he was being checked. Wraparound is blocked by Vegas' defenseman, Theodore. That saved the goal against for William Eklund.
Keep going.
Minute 39 to play in the game. Sharks 3, Vegas 2. Empty net. Oh, no. A dump in. Bounces to the goal. It beats Nedeljkovic. And this game is tied up. Now the Sharks take it back. Klingberg lost it. Nedeljkovic is going to come way out of the net. This is dangerous. He snapped it forward. Oh, no. Empty net. Vegas is going to win as they score. Riley Smith taking advantage of Nedeljkovic, who came way out of the net. And Smith had the empty net. And Nedeljkovic just can't believe it. A good effort for most of the game spoiled on a bouncer to tie the game from Eichel with an extra attacker on. And then a turnover in a one-on-one situation in overtime. Riley Smith wins it for Vegas.
Just got caught in between on the third one, whether to go out and try to catch it in the air or let it bounce and hop. And usually when you're in between at this level, bad things happen. So and that, probably more of the same in overtime as well. Just wasn't quite sure what I was going to do with it. Knew I had to do something, and again, caught in between, and nothing good happened.
Guys, sports are glorious and wonderful and hilarious and tragic and inconceivable. And I felt like being a fan at SAP Center last night was a very, very good example of what being a fan in sports is like. You have drama, you have excitement, you have joy, you have pain, you have bewilderment. You have every possible run of the emotional gamut that you can ever hope to imagine all happening in a very, very short amount of time. You go from the start of that game with the big pregame intro that the Sharks were having. You've got, you know, Jeff Skinner scoring the first goal of the year. You've got elation from the fans. You've got new faces in San Jose coming through with big, big goals like Kurashev. You know, you've got players like Orlov and Klingberg and all these guys getting their first points in a San Jose Sharks uniform. Everything about last night had the stage set for what would be the Sharks' first season opening win in quite some time. Unfortunately, sports proved itself that, and this is something that I frequently come back to when I don't believe in luck in sports, because I think luck often indicates something that's not deserved. When you enter the arena of play, you are entering an arena where you acknowledge that literally anything can happen. And if anything can happen, I don't know if I need to spell this out for you, then anything can happen. That means the puck can bounce oddly. That means that a play can find a player in a no man's land where they don't know what exactly they have to do. That means that when you walk out of the arena, you can be looking at yourself and thinking, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that before. And yes, sometimes that means you're going to walk away with an incredible amount of joy. Like I had never seen a team come back from a 3-0 deficit to win 5-4 in overtime in game 7 of a playoff series. And then last night, I had never seen a deep dump in bounce 5-hole to tie a game and then see a puck kind of get stuck out in no man's land where the goalie comes running out, can't get it clear at first attempt, and then allows a goal to be scored on an empty net. I mean, guys, that's everywhere. That's everything you could possibly see in a game last night, and it was wild. It was a great night at the Tank. I think that when we look overall at the game, you're going to look at this in two very distinct segments. There is the period where William Eklund couldn't bury the empty netter, and the puck comes back the other direction and off a dump-in somehow gets bounced oddly between Nedeljkovic's legs and goes in, leading to a situation in overtime where the puck gets stuck out and Ned can't clear it. And then there's everything that happened before that where you felt really good about the Sharks, where you felt really good about Nedeljkovic, where you thought to yourself, hey, a newcomer like Skinner is coming through with a goal and giving you a really good performance. I thought that Skinner throughout the game was aggressive, was energetic, was oftentimes dictating the way that the Sharks were playing. There was a lot that I liked about it. If the entirety of last year was mostly dominated by the discussion of what we saw from the young players, one of the things that I liked so much about last night's game was the fact that in addition to Skinner, it was more of these veterans that were making the Sharks be the team that was in the lead late into the game. You had a great performance from Jeff Skinner. You had John Klingberg coming through with an assist. You had, you know, Dmitry Orlov with an assist. You had Alex Wenberg with a big goal. You had Ty Dellandrea with an assist. You had Kurashev with a goal. You had William Eklund, who's not quite a veteran. I mean, I know he's been around for a couple of years, but he's still a young player. But you had newcomers in Skinner, Klingberg, Orlov, Kurashev, all getting points. That was exactly what I think we were hoping to see. Veterans and newcomers coming through with points. No, you didn't get a point for Celebrini. No, you didn't get a point for Will Smith. No, you didn't get a win out of this game. All you got was a point. But I was encouraged by what I saw, and I think that's the big takeaway out of the game, is that you didn't walk away and think that, you know, this was a team that lacked intensity or lacked the ability to win games. I think the Sharks 100% had a chance to win that game last night. A just really strange series of events went down. And that, again, is sports in a nutshell. But I thought that, you know, when I look back at this game, you know, I liked the defense. I thought that early on in the game, it was a little bit disjointed. And it was something I was talking about with my good friend Alan Hoshida of NBC Sports, where you just kind of saw them getting a little bit slow when they were in their own end and on the breakout. It just looked like they didn't know where they wanted to go. But, you know, I kind of looked at this game and the way the Sharks entirely gelled together as a unit as very similar to what we saw from Macklin Celebrini in this game, where Macklin, you know, the first period and the second period, you saw some things being worked through. You didn't see a guy who was completely in his element, where you could tell that he had maybe, you know, been out for some of that preseason. And then in the third period, he started to get it going and started to look like his old self. Not that there is any old self of what the San Jose Sharks are out of, you know, a preseason played together, but, you know, these guys finally started to look like they were figuring each other out and they were handling Vegas. And again, Vegas is arguably the best team in the league entering the season. They have Mitch Marner. They have Jack Eichel. You know, you go down the list on all the high-level talents that they have. Tomas Hertl, another one. You know, these are the things that we were all looking at and thinking, okay, the Sharks are going to have their handful. But instead, they actually put together a pretty great performance overall to give themselves a chance to win. And when you're going into the third period, 2-2, if you look back at last year, you think to yourself, uh-oh, I know how this is going to go. Instead, they didn't relinquish the lead right away. They built upon that lead. They gave themselves a chance. And it was, again, just a very odd sequence of events right at the end of the game that took 2 points out of the Sharks' grasp. And it's really unfortunate because it seemed like they were there. It seemed like they had a great opportunity to walk away with a win. That did not happen. But I think that you have a lot to like out of last night's game. And, you know, I won't go player by player, but I will start with Jeff Skinner since he scored the first goal of the year. I loved the aggression. I love the pop. I love his willingness to use his body and physicality. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but there was a spark when he was on the ice. He was bringing energy. And last year, too often, there were not enough guys bringing energy to the fray. And I think that anytime you have a guy out there who's willing to give up his body while also being, you know, a pretty dangerous player while they're on the ice in terms of creating opportunities, trying to get themselves in a dangerous position, trying to get shots off. Those are the things that you want to see consistently. Those are the things that you were hoping to get. And again, that's exactly what Skinner provided in game number one. You know, Skinner may not have had a great run of his career as of late. And if we look at last year, he only had 16 goals. But if we go back to 2023, he had 24 goals. 2022, he had 35. 2021, he had 33 goals. We go back to 2018, he had 40 goals. We go back to 2016, he had 37 goals. We go back to 2013, he had 33 goals. And I haven't mentioned a couple seasons in which he had 28 goals, 24 goals. I mean, he knows how to get it done. He knows how to put the puck in the back of the net. And the Sharks' biggest problem last year, in addition to defense, was their lack of offensive consistency. Sometimes they had offense, sometimes they didn't. But you saw a player that was adding something out there on the ice. The same thing could be said of Kurashev. Kurashev was adding something out there on the ice. And you need these veteran players to step up. If the Sharks are going to be able to win these games, it can't be entirely on the 18, 19, and 20-year-olds. It's got to be on the guys who go out there and give you an opportunity to win predicated upon their experience in the NHL where they know how to win games. I do believe that Klingberg and Orlov know how to win games. I know that Jeff Skinner knows how to win games. I know that Tyler Toffoli knows how to win games. Those are the guys who have got to come through as well. It can't just be Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and eventually Michael Mesa and Sam Dickinson. Those are storylines that are going to play out over the next decade plus, but it's got to be the veterans. And that's one of the things that I loved. You know, it was Jeff Skinner coming through. It was Alex Wennberg coming through. Alex Wennberg, I think finally at the end of last year, people realized what a valuable asset he was. You know, he was not a great goal scorer, but his leadership, his overall drive to perform well out there on the ice, you could see exactly what he was bringing. And I thought that he brought that in game number one as well. And, you know, you start talking about, you know, Orlov. Yes, there were a couple times he did not look great. He got his pocket picked. That was not a great look. And I think that happened to Klingberg as well. But it's game number one of the season. I don't need these guys to be perfect. I don't need them to be absolutely flawless. I need them to give themselves a chance to win. I need them to give the Sharks and their teammates opportunities and confidence to grow and build forward. We know this year is not going to end in a Stanley Cup final unless something very, very strange happens. I'm okay with that as long as everybody on this team keeps on taking steps in the right direction. And a big part of that is making the young players feel like the world is not on their shoulders. That's where it falls on the shoulders of the veterans who will hopefully be giving these young players that much more freedom to grow and learn. But again, I really liked what I saw from Skinner. I liked what I saw from Klingberg. Again, some of his transporting the puck, some of his clear ability to handle the puck. These are the things that you hope to see. You know, like I said, Dmitry Orlov, there were a couple of moments where I didn't love his game, but there are other moments where I really, really liked it. You know, Ty Dellandrea, who has earned a very, very good spot throughout these throughout the preseason, showed that he could be a third line center. You know, I thought that he looked good throughout the game. He took, you know, an odd hit from behind from Tomas Hertl, and that was interesting. It seemed like Tomas Hertl had himself, in the words of my good friend Alan Hoshid. I was sitting next to Alan, if you couldn't tell that. But, you know, he said, hey, this is the heel turn of Tomas Hertl in San Jose. That was something none of us saw coming. You know, I appreciated that. You know, Kurashev, again, coming through with a goal. And the one that really killed me, and you got to give it up, you know, to Vegas and their goalie of Schmid, was the fact that he had a point-blank look after the Sharks went up 3-2, and it was denied. But, you know, Kurashev was out there making things happen. He was not, you know, just content to have one goal. He was still pushing the issue. He was still trying to find himself in an opportunity to score. And then you look at some of the young players like William Eklund. He had a great game last night, and I think that one of the things that I really appreciated about him was the fact that he was pushing down the center of the ice more and finding himself in dangerous spaces. These are the things that, you know, you want your players to take advantage of their physical attributes. You want them to be able to use all of their ability to help the Sharks win. And I felt that at many times, you know, William Eklund was allowing them to do that. And, you know, Ryan Reeves was a little bit quiet in this game. He made a little bit of noise early, but I didn't think he had one of his better games. But it is game number one. I thought that Timothy Liljegren at points looked pretty aggressive and tried to move the puck up the wing and create offensive opportunities. I thought that Colin Graf throughout the game showed us time and time again why he has some of the best instincts in the dressing room. I think that that guy always finds himself in the right place at the right time because he sees the game that much better than everyone else out there on the ice. I think his instinctual spatial awareness of where he needs to be is very, very high. And Colin Graf on several opportunities was finding himself again in the right place at the right time. And that's exactly what you want to see. And I can't really say anything more than that other than, yeah, it was great to see these players look exactly like what they hoped, what you hoped they would be. I think one of the things that was a little bit, maybe not disappointing, but, you know, Macklin Celebrini didn't quite look like himself in the first two periods. Finally got it going in that third period, like I alluded to earlier, in the same way that the Sharks kind of got it going. But I think that you could tell that whatever had been ailing Macklin Celebrini and kept him out, that he's still getting back from it in the terms of the fact that he hasn't played a lot of hockey. And that as he got deeper into the game, he got better. I also thought something similar was going to happen for Will Smith. Will Smith, again, still a very, very young player. He was figuring it out, and he got a little bit better as we got deeper into the game. I'm okay with that. And again, I like the fact that it was the veteran players more driving this game than it was the young players, because I think, again, that goes back to creating an environment which allows the young players to get that much better. And it also shows that the guys that are coming in here are trying to push this franchise forward. That's a big part of what we need the Sharks to do going forward. So, yeah, I mean, there was a lot that I liked out of this game. I'm excited to see game number two against Anaheim coming up. It was a painful way for it to end, but that's life, that's sports, and we move on. Let's get into a recap via highlights. Like we said, the veteran, Jeff Skinner, came through with the Sharks' first goal of the year.
Here he comes down the right side. Lead pass off the defense, right on goal, C-mate, score! Jeff Skinner right in front of the goal gets the rebound, but that was Ty Dellandrea rushing the puck up the ice and just doing what you're supposed to do. Send it toward the net. Something's going to happen, and it does, and the Sharks are on the board at 5:31 of this first period.
And I love the way that Skinner stuck with it up front. He found a way to get that puck over the line, went top corner, and that was just a great way for the Sharks to take a lead early on in that game. It didn't last for long, though. That was at 5:31 of the first, and at 8:09, it was Brett Howden tying things up at one. Then at 6:59 of the second period, it was Alexander Wennberg giving the Sharks a 2-1 lead.
Kept in. Now it's Klingberg circling, cycling, going to the right circle, shot right on, score! Alex Wennberg's in the slot. William Eklund took the shot, and the Sharks score their first power play goal of the season at 6:59 to make it a 2-1 lead over the Vegas Golden Knights, and Wennberg will get credit.
Then it was Dorofeev making it a 2-2 game at the 14:22 mark of the second period. Let's go third period. Filip Kurashev, 2:59 into the third, gives San Jose a 3-2 lead, assisted by Dmitry Orlov and Shakir Mukhmudulin with his second assist of the night.
Macklin Celebrini able to lift one out in the direction of Kurashev, end of his shift for Macklin. Kurashev giving chase. Everybody else coming out. Kurashev steals, feeds it in front. Grab the chance.
Great
that
chance.
That puck got sticked away, it looked like, by Schmid. Went over the top of the net, hit the glass.
That White Cloud again.
There's another chance toward the goal. Score! From the point, Dmitry Orlov just sends it toward the net. And it got deflected in front. Might be Kurashev right in front of the goal. But again, the old adage, when you see an opportunity to send it toward the goal, you do it. And Orlov did that. And the Sharks take the 3-2 lead right after that chance by Colin Graf missed. Graf hustled the puck, got it back to Orlov, and fed it toward the front of the net. And it went in. And actually, I think that it might be Kurashev. It might just be Orlov. Might have gone off. It's Kurashev's goal.
After that, Kurashev had another really good opportunity to try and score for San Jose. Schmid denied him right on frame, and it was just one of those games where if you were able to get that goal to go ahead 4-2, that probably puts the end of it. I mean, I'm never going to put Vegas totally out of it because they're a very highly talented team, and they have the ability to get themselves back into games. But, you know, he kept on creating opportunities. He kept on trying to find himself in dangerous situations, And I think that's exactly what you need from the Sharks across the board. It's the veterans. It's the youth. It's looking just more offensively potent than they did a year ago. And I thought that that was something that we saw consistently through this game. The Sharks, like we said earlier, they were very, very close to walking away with the win in this one. They had a look on an empty net. William Eklund was not able to get it in, and then suddenly disaster struck.
Here's William Eklund. He doesn't stop skating. Fed it forward to Foley. Back for Eklund. Eklund has an empty net. Poked it forward just wide of the goal as he was being checked. Wraparound is blocked by Vegas' defenseman Theodore. That saved the goal against for William Eklund.
Keep going. Keep going. Keep going.
Minute 39 to play in the game. Sharks 3, Vegas 2. Empty net. Oh, no. Oh, they score. A dump in. Bounces to the goal. It beats Nedeljkovic. And this game is tied up.
Yeah, that was pretty awful. And then in overtime, it somehow got worse.
Now the Sharks take it back. Klingberg lost it. Nedeljkovic is going to come way out of the net. This is dangerous. He snapped it forward. Oh, no! Empty net! Vegas is going to win as they score. Riley Smith taking advantage of Nedeljkovic, who came way out of the net. And Smith had the empty net. And Nedeljkovic just can't believe it. A good effort for most of the game spoiled on a bouncer to tie the game from Eichel with an extra attacker on, and then a turnover in a one-on-one situation in overtime. Riley Smith wins it for Vegas.
Now, I know there are some people out there who are probably upset with Nedeljkovic, but I guarantee that however upset you are with him, he is far, far more upset with himself. And when we saw him in the post game, it was just, you could tell he was trying to figure out how on earth did that happen, how he found himself right there at the crux in two of the biggest plays, arguably the two biggest plays of the game. And that's sports. That's what you go through. That's why you get paid a lot of money. And I think that Alex Nedeljkovic will have no problem to move on from this. And I think that if we go forward on his season, he's going to continue to look pretty good. He looked very good in the preseason. He looked very good throughout this game. I never viewed him as the problem in this game until he was at the crux of two very big plays. That's how it goes sometimes. I'm not going to deny that. I thought it was unfortunate. I thought it was unfair, but that's sports. Let's hear what Ryan Warsawski had to say after this one, because I thought that he was not devastated. He was not upset. It seemed like he had kind of a, you know, a little bit of a laugh, like, yeah, that's how it goes sometimes. And not a literal laugh, but I think he just was of that mindset. But I thought that, like me, he saw a lot that he liked out of this game.
Yeah, I liked our game. We were skating, played with good structure for the most part. You know, obviously a couple things we got to clean up, but I liked our game. Our guys competed. We, like I said, we skated. I liked a lot of things we did.
And you could tell while he was speaking with us that he was disappointed in the outcome, but I don't think that he was devastated by it in the slightest. And to be a coach at this level, you can't be. You got to be able to just brush it off and move on to the next challenge. But I agree. They did skate hard. They did try. They had a lot of the core tenets that he's going for out there on the ice. And it's just a very unfortunate sequence of events that we attribute specifically to sports that took a win away from San Jose. And I think that that's exactly the mindset you need to have. Focus on the positives, move on, and see what you can improve for the next game. Warsawski was also asked what he saw on the two sequences that led to the game tying and game winning goals for Vegas.
Yeah, we'll get a chance to score, right? 6-on-5. And usually when that happens, it's coming back at you. So, you know, Nick comes out there and it takes like a funky bounce, goes in the back, something you don't see very often. And similar, you know, the 3-on-3, we're just out there too long. That's totally not on net. We're out there too long. We mismanage the puck, and then what good teams do is they score.
And that is the ultimate truth of it. If you give Vegas an opportunity to score, they're going to score. If you give them an opportunity to win, they're going to win. And that is where the critical error for San Jose was in last night's game. They gave Vegas those chances, and you can give credit to Vegas for making something happen. And, you know, Warzo said that the Sharks got tired out there on the ice in the 3-on-3 and put, you know, Ned in a very difficult situation, which again is true. But what you're doing more than anything is giving Vegas opportunity, which is the last thing you want to do. Vegas will make you pay for it. Vegas will punish you and they punished the Sharks, and they walked away with 2 points out of a game they seemed destined to lose. That's what great teams do. I used to watch the Sharks do it. Orzo also talked about the fact that he did like his team's game in that third period particular, up to the point at which they gave up the game-tying goal.
Yeah, we showed some maturity. That was a big positive out of it. Even our bench, guys are saying the right things. We were putting pucks behind them for the most part, and it got better. I actually thought it got better as we, when we first got the lead, it was a little loose through the neutral zone, and then we got better. And there was really nothing going on until really that 6-on-5.
And Warsawski showed no sign of being overly upset by this game.
Yeah, we could have still stick to our process here. And again, we played a solid hockey game. Our guys will learn from it. We'll move on. We'll pick up the pieces. And we'll go at it tomorrow.
This next answer I thought was pretty interesting for Warsawski, because he was asked if it was the most improbable defeat that he had suffered. And this is where I got to my initial sense earlier that Warzo was kind of shaking his head and laughing at it. Not literally laughing, but just kind of like, I can't believe that happened. It was just as wild to me as it was to you.
Yeah, just probably the way it's gone in. But that is life. And we got to move forward. You know, things happen for whatever reasons. It was a bounce, and we got to pick up Ned, pick up each other, and get at it again tomorrow.
And that's what good coaches do. They say in the point of talking about moving on that the team needs to collective come together around Nedeljkovic. And I hope they do. Nedeljkovic seems like a really, really solid guy. And I don't think that, you know, either of those situations were something that we can attribute to just, you know, carelessness or bad play. There was a weird hop on that long puck from Eichel. That's the best way to describe it. And then even Warsawski said the Sharks weren't skating hard. They got caught out on the ice too long, and Nedeljkovic had to come out and make a decision. Maybe he wasn't as decisive about it as he should have been initially. You know, was put in a bad situation, and that bad situation ended up being a bad goal for the Sharks to give up because it cost them the game. I don't think that Nedeljkovic is going to see it quite that way. He's probably going to put more of the blame on himself, but I think you have to remind yourself that this is a team game. For every opportunity that Nedeljkovic may have had to finish off this game, we can go over a million different opportunities that the Sharks did not take advantage of during the game. Moving along, Warsawski was asked about things that he wants to tighten up out of this game.
You know, I think bearing down in certain situations throughout the game, you know, the wall play, look at the video, and there's some breakout execution that we got to continue to work on to get everyone on the same page and get more connected. But again, you know, 9 times out of 10, I'll take that effort and that compete. You know, we'll start putting some more in the back of the net and playing a little bit more on the attacks. You know, with that power play, we can, you know, we sat back a little bit on that. So there's some things we can work on.
And I don't want to sound like a broken record, but Warsawski seemed to be indicating that he was okay with the performance for the team, regardless of the outcome. And I think that's important to do sometimes. Now, I know a lot of you are wondering, where was Sam Dickinson? Where was Michael Misa? And I know that even Hasso Plattner was disappointed that at least Sam Dickinson was not in the lineup, but I think the Sharks coaching staff saw an opportunity to get a very good performance with their veterans against a very talented, very, very dangerous, very, very brutalizing in terms of their overall ability, Vegas Golden Knights team. I think he said, hey, if I put Misa and Dickinson out there, it might have a chance to hurt some of their confidence. It might not be in their best interest to put them out in this game for their NHL debuts. Now, I don't know for a fact that we're going to see them against Anaheim on Saturday. I feel like there's a decent chance that we will, but I think that, you know, right now they're trying to figure out where exactly Dickinson and Misa are right now in their overall developments. And I think that last year was a little more obvious with Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini. Will Smith was obviously on a different plan even than Macklin Celebrini, and it seems like Misa and Dickinson are on a different plan for themselves. Almost like they're individualized. Ha ha. But I think that there was a, you know, it was an understandable disappointment that Misa and Dickinson didn't play. These are two of the most hyped up prospects in the San Jose Sharks overall prospect pool. Michael Misa, obviously the second overall pick in this last year's NHL draft, and people want to see him. And that's partly because people saw what Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith brought to the ice last year. It was not something that you were unhappy about. They played their asses off, and you would like to see more young talent with that potential to have a dynamic changer go out there onto the ice for the Sharks and make their rebuild that much quicker. And unfortunately, you know, that's not the way it worked out. But hey, we've always got Saturday night, And then after that, 80 more games. So I don't think there is a distinct hurry for San Jose to get things going with Misa and Dickinson. We'll see what the Sharks roll out there for Saturday night. Be sure to join me on Saturday afternoon for the buildup as we get ready for the Sharks to take on Anaheim from SAP Center. I'll be on NBC that night with my good friend Alan Hoshida. Have I mentioned that he's my good friend? Oh, six or seven times in this episode? Okay, yeah, it's a little crutch. But we're out of time. I will see you all on Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, and then Sunday morning back on Morning Tide for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.